Hello and welcome to the Karate Priest Podcast. I'm your host, Father Daniel Duplantis. I'm a martial artist, musician, airman, and a priest of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. One of my other passions in life is teaching, especially teaching about the Catholic faith. Catholicism is a very deep faith. Jesus himself told Peter to put out into the deep for a catch. The most significant answers to life's most important questions often lie deep beneath the surface. Many people have questions about their faith. Through this podcast, my aim is to explore these questions and encounter incredible people along the way. Their stories show that God is constantly at work in our lives every single day, sometimes in the ordinary and sometimes in the extraordinary. Some of the topics treated in this podcast may be sensitive or controversial, but their discussion holds the key to truly living as God created us to live, which is to say that He created us to live in authentic freedom, loving Him above all else. Thank you for joining me on this journey of faith, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Karate Priest Podcast. This episode is the first episode of what we're doing for the first time is a three-part series. I'm really excited about this little series because it's a topic I'm very enthusiastic about. And the topic for the next three episodes will be on the four classic Greek temperaments. This might be something you've heard of, or if you're hearing about it for the first time, it's a wonderful topic. It's something that I find plays out in everyday life for really anybody. This is something that involves every single one of us. And I know when I kind of first encountered the temperaments, this was something that was a great self-discovery for me, just with learning more about myself and especially the people around me also, how do we work together, and just knowing the difference between all these temperaments to better understand, you know, who we are, especially as individuals, and how God creates us to be. So the way this is going to work is this first episode is really the introduction to what temperament is. And then from there, over the next two episodes after this, the second episode will be the four temperaments themselves, really kind of going into detail as to what each temperament is, all their different qualities. And then the third episode will be really just some practical application, some everyday life things as to how do the temperaments play out in relationship to each other. And perhaps also some general rules for like the spiritual life, you know, and living out a life of virtue with each of these temperaments. So with that, we're going to get into today exactly what is temperament. And a lot of the information for these next three episodes is going to come from a book called The Temperament God Gave You, The Classic Key to Knowing Yourself, Getting Along with Others, and Growing Closer to the Lord. And that is written by Art and Lorraine Bennett and is published by Sophia Institute Press. So if you want to check out the book, it's a wonderful book. This is something that I keep very close at hand on my bookshelf. I use it a lot when I do marriage preparation with couples, because what often happens is you'll see, you know, when they have these kind of little hiccups in their relationship, it's really just like personality differences and temperament differences. And when you get them to realize who they are individually and then how that changes their relationship, you just see the light bulb. It's such a beautiful thing. And so this book is wonderful. In the book as well is an actual temperament test. And so if you want to find the book for the sake of the test, I would recommend that also. You could probably also find a temperament test online. You could probably Google one just to get an idea. But hopefully, through these next three episodes, you will hopefully be able to simply identify your own temperament or perhaps even hybrid temperament simply by understanding the information, you know, and by just kind of taking all this in and trying to say, you know what, that sounds a lot like me. And first and foremost, I want to put this as a disclaimer is that you really can't put people in a box. All right. A lot of this is for the most part, kind of like a best fit line through the temperaments. You know, you're not going to fit into one category perfectly. All right. What this helps us to do is to get at least a general understanding of who we are as people and just our tendencies. That's a big part of this is identifying what our tendencies are and trying to figure out exactly how we tend to react to certain situations And that helps us with knowing exactly what to expect and how do we curve certain habits with that as well. So let's get into this a little bit. So first of all, what is temperament? That is a huge question here. And people kind of sometimes get this confused with personality, and I'll get to that in a second as well. When we're looking at temperament, we're looking at what we would consider to be the sum of our natural preferences, all right? Things that shape our thoughts, ideas, impressions, the way that we tend to react to our environment. A lot of this is really hardwired in us. It's a natural disposition. And so temperament is really not so much learned as it is just part of our individual nature. So temperament against personality, are they the same thing? The answer is no. They're not the same thing. We would say that temperament is really part of personality. Personality is really a larger umbrella term. Personality can refer to behavioral thoughts, emotions, patterns. Temperament refers more to a pattern of inclinations. Again, this is kind of like our default factory settings. Personality can change over time, you know, and especially because behavior is something that can be learned. So with that, personality is a much larger umbrella term. And there are several personality tests out there as well as distinguished from temperament tests. So for example, if you go on to, I think it's called 16personalities.com or something like that, that's more like the Myers-Briggs, all right? So Myers-Briggs, you might be familiar with that. That's like the ENFJ, INFJ kind of thing, those letters. And that refers more to the larger umbrella of personality. Whereas this is more with temperament, we're looking more at nature versus nurture. So temperament, the distinction here would be that temperament defines what comes naturally to a person. It is possible to choose to act against a natural inclination, and this is shaped by the practicing and exercising of virtue. And we're going to get to virtue more probably so in episode 3. Temperament really helps to identify, like I said a few minutes ago, tendencies in our behavior, these natural tendencies. So maybe we can ask the question also, why study temperament? So while a person can't be reduced to the sum of our temperament, understanding our tendencies helps us to identify areas for growth. It helps us to work with and help those around us. So when we look at these temperaments, we can maybe look also at their origins. Where do these come from? What's the whole kind of the theory behind these temperaments? We call these the four classic Greek temperaments. And the reason for that is because the ancient Greeks identified these based on what they thought was imbalances in bodily fluids. They thought that if you had more of one particular bodily fluid, that changed the way you would act. So the four temperaments are as follows. We have the sanguine, the phlegmatic, the melancholic, and the choleric. And so for each of these names refer to a specific bodily fluid. Sanguine is Latin for blood. You know, as a Catholic, you know, we hear corpus et sanguine Christi. So sanguine, sanguine. So sanguine, they thought was an imbalance of blood from the heart. A phlegmatic, we think of phlegm from the lungs. And so they thought that a phlegmatic had a lot of phlegm in the lungs. Melancholic refers to black bile from the kidneys. And then the choleric referring to yellow bile from the liver. So that's what we're looking at with these fluids. That's their origins. And so with that, if we look at these temperaments as kind of a, and I want you to imagine this as like an XY plane, right? As like your XY graph, all right? Or maybe as like a circle with four different quadrants, okay? The way that this is going to work for most of these three episodes is we're going to start, if you look at the top left corner of this, or top left quadrant of the circle, that's going to be your choleric. And then from there, we're going to go clockwise. So immediately to the right of the choleric is going to be our sanguine. Going down, this would now be the bottom right quadrant of our circle is the phlegmatic. And then continuing the clockwise motion down to the bottom left of the circle would be the melancholic. That's kind of what we're looking at here. All right. So if it helps you to draw this out, I highly recommend it because you could actually keep this chart if you draw it out and kind of write some of these notes in as I'm saying these. And so when we look at these quadrants and we look at kind of the two different axes that divide them, that's really our two major divisions for these temperaments. So the top half, the top two, so the top left being the choleric and the top right being the sanguine. These two are our extroverted temperaments. They're extroverted. All right. So you could say that the horizontal line would be the top half being the extrovert, bottom half being your introvert. So the melancholic and the phlegmatic would be our introverts. And then if you have your up and down line, your vertical line, the left side, that would be the choleric and the melancholic, would be more of your principled thinkers. And then the right side, your sanguine and your phlegmatic, would be more of your people persons, your almost your feelers, we would call them also. And so with that, that's kind of what we're looking at with the chart. And so I would highly recommend that you draw this out and then also keep this around for the next several episodes, because as we kind of go deeper into the temperaments in episode 2, into each one individually, we'll kind of see exactly what each one looks like. And you can start making some notes in. But I want to talk more about these axes, you know, and these fundamental differences between the temperaments. And so what we have here first is, again, introvert versus extrovert. And so when we look at these, your cholerics and your sanguines, your extroverts tend to be action oriented. So they tend to act first and think later. Your extroverts tend to be very much attuned to outward expression. So they make a lot of gestures and facial expressions. That's something I tend to do a lot. I myself am a choleric. And so you'll kind of see what that looks like as we go through this. But as a choleric, I tend to betray no emotion with my face. If something happens, I make faces. I remember growing up with my twin brother while we were altar serving. Anytime we heard a wrong note on the organ, we'd look at each other and we'd make faces. My brother and I emote very, very well. Extroverts, they also tend to talk more than they listen. So someone like a podcast host is usually an extrovert because we love to talk. That's why we're doing this, right? And then also they tend to speak before realizing what we think about a topic. And kind of the hope with this is that by actually saying something that we're able to maybe put our thoughts together and our thoughts become clearer as we speak. It's almost like we're talking for the sake of thinking. As opposed to thinking before we talk. So from there, we now have the opposite of the extrovert, which is the introvert, and that is your melancholic and your phlegmatic. Your introverts, they typically need time to process things more by reflection, internalizing, and assimilation. They tend to think first and act later. And then we'll see that with all of these temperaments, there's extremes to all of these rules, that one tends to be more so than the other in all these cases. Introverts are more internally focused and self-aware. They tend to be very, very good at deep reflection. Introverts tend to have an intense inner life. I think of so many of the mystics who are saints. And many of these mystics were probably introverts because they had just had the capacity for a very deep and intense inner life. And introverts tend to rehearse dialogues in their minds before having the said dialogues. So the exact opposite of the extrovert. The introvert will actually tend to think things out very well before they even attempt to say anything at all, to really try to put their thoughts together. So from there, that was, again, the top half versus the bottom half. Now we're looking at the left half of the circle versus the right half, which is our principles or people, aka thinking versus feeling. And there's a quote from Albert Einstein about this, and I really, really like, and the book shares this quote as well. Albert Einstein once said, "If your head tells you one thing and your heart tells you another, before you do anything, decide first whether you have a better head or a better heart." Wow. I really, really like this. It's really important for us to know, you know, do we trust our head more? Do we trust our heart more? Which one maybe needs more development in that light? So I think that's just a very, very good quote to reflect on. So looking at this a little bit more closely, so we're looking at our people-oriented feelers first. This is actually the right half. We're looking at our sanguines and our phlegmatics. Our sanguines and phlegmatics tend to value harmony in relationship, collaboration, and the feelings and needs of others. They are specifically people persons, and also most of the time they're people pleasers. The sanguine tends to like to be the life of the party, or the phlegmatic loves to be just kind of like the servant leader, likes to please people. And these people-oriented feelers tend to like to avoid conflict. It's something they would rather keep the peace. Now our principled thinkers, this is now the left half of the circle, our choleric and our melancholic. So these guys tend to make decisions based on goals and ideas. Again, they're more driven by principles, all right? And so because of this, they're going to make decisions based on goals and ideals. Your principal people don't value sentiment as much as principles. So they tend to, not to say railroad people with feelings, you know, they tend to just highly prioritize values. I think of maybe someone who in their prayer life, their spiritual life, really, really admires the transcendentals of being when describing God and meditating on God, because again, these are very much principles as opposed to, you know, maybe praying with the Psalms, which express a range of emotion, you know. So your principle thinkers also tend to seek objectivity and clarity. They're very much from the sense of what is truth? You know, I think of that question from Pontius Pilate during the Passion, what is truth? That's very much what your principled thinkers will be asking, is what is truth? They're seeking objectivity and clarity. And they tend to be truthful rather than tactful. They tend to not sugarcoat things, again, because they are driven more by the sake of principles. And so what happens is that with these temperaments, you know, what we're seeing so far is that there's differences for each one. As you can see already, if you look at the top left, your choleric is your extroverted thinker. Going to the right clockwise, the sanguine is your extroverted feeler. Again, keeping going clockwise, you have your phlegmatic, who is your feeler, but is introverted. And then you have the melancholic, who is your introverted thinker. So as you can see, that's your four major distinctions. That's these four main temperaments. And so what happens is when you have, you know, groups of people, maybe, you know, for people who are in school who do group assignments, or just anyone who works as a team in their day-to-day life, what you'll probably see is that there's a lot of different dynamics that go on between these temperaments. So the whole idea with these temperaments as regards teamwork is really to maximize our strengths together, okay? And so what happens is what you'll see, and this is again, kind of like a distinction between the thinkers and feelers, we have what we call the natural leaders, who are the cholerics and the melancholics. And so these temperaments tend to want to do their own way, but they lack the docility to receive direction. So they tend to want to be the ones controlling. They can be controlling generally if unchecked, much to their, maybe I should say their downfall. They're great at planning. What often happens is the choleric will tend to kickstart a process or a program or a project, whatever you name it, with an initial strategy, while the melancholic corrects and perfects the errors. And then from there, you have the other side, your charismatic leaders and your servant leaders. And that would be your sanguine and your phlegmatic. So these are more comfortable with maybe taking more of a backseat support role, almost like a cheerleader role. You know, I think of sanguines oftentimes like keeping the energy going. And so that's a very important part of the process. Is the sanguine sometimes will just to, for the sake of keeping energy, that is extremely important. It can't be overlooked. And then your phlegmatics as well, you know, most of the time they don't like making unpopular decisions, almost to the point where they won't make decisions at all. But if you tell them to do something, if someone makes a decision for them, most of the time, if they agree with it, they will be very ready to help carry out those decisions. And so again, they tend to lead more by understanding and connecting with others, or by their enthusiasm and their likable personality. And so that's basically an overview of what temperament is. In the next episode, what we're going to cover is more of the four temperaments in detail, specific characteristics, again, specific tendencies of each of these temperaments. And so really the next episode is where you're really going to want to maybe take some notes as to what you think you are. If something kind of strikes you, if something kind of hits home with you as to, oh yeah, I'm definitely that, write it down, all right? And that way, hopefully by the end of the next episode, you'll have a better understanding of maybe what temperament you are. Or in the meantime, if you want to take some of these other tests, you know, you can do so. If you know what your Myers-Briggs personality type is, oftentimes the bookend letters will help to really distinguish between your temperaments. Because again, with Myers-Briggs, that's really more of these axes here, right? With Myers-Briggs, the first letter has to do with introversion and extroversion. And then the last letter has to do with judging versus perceiving, or almost thinking versus feeling. They kind of go hand in hand. So if, for example, a choleric would probably be an EJ, a sanguine would be an EP, a phlegmatic would most likely be an IP, and then your melancholic would then be an IT. So again, that's if you understand Myers-Briggs. If you want to check that one out as well, I think the website is 16personalities. .com. And yeah, that's a very brief test you could take and kind of gives you an idea of your Myers-Briggs personality type. I won't get really much more into that, but at least to say, you know, to give you an idea of what we're working with here. So until next time, hopefully this is kind of giving you a bit of a taste of what these temperaments are And hopefully maybe now you've seen like why this is so important to study, because this is everyday life. This is our everyday interactions with people, because we're all coming from a different background. We're all coming from a different, as I like to say, factory setting. And so what often happens is there tends to be tension sometimes between those settings. But all of these temperaments, all of these personalities are truly necessary, because where we are weak in one area, somebody else is strong, and we need that. This is where complementarity between the temperaments is really, really important. And so with that, I hope you enjoyed this introductory episode on the temperaments. We will see you next time where we talk about them in more detail. Thank you and God bless. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of The Karate Priest. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and like The Karate Priest on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're ever in South Louisiana, come visit me at the Cathedral of St. Francis de Sales in Houma. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can also email me at thekaratepriest@gmail.com. Your questions are welcomed and may be used in future episodes. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for the International Association of Metatomics at metatomics.org, or find us on social media for other unique content.